So I was about the age of 18, and I more or less stumbled into an armed forces recruiting station with plans to join the United States Air Force. I had just come off a devastating breakup with my girlfriend. And a couple of my buddies kept telling me about how I could postpone college and receive GI benefits to finish college later. The Vietnam War had officially ended a couple of years earlier, and all the branches of the military were eagerly trying to rehabilitate their reputations and offered generous benefits. What did I have to lose? I thought to myself. So it wasn't long before I took a public transit bus from southern New Jersey to a military intake center in Philadelphia. And it was there that I spent most of the day taking tests and undergoing a fairly thorough physical. And near the end of the day, one of the staffers at the intake center came to talk with me about the fact that I had reported being treated for a kidney stone while in high school. And the Air Force wasn't sure they wanted me. So the military staffer said, "Hey, listen, I just need a written statement offering some kind of assurance from the kidney specialist who treated you." And on what seemed like a very long public bus ride home, it was about 40 miles, and this bus seemed to stop at numerous towns along the way, I began to have second thoughts about joining the Air Force. And ultimately, I did not join. Back then, I was probably, in the midst of my hurt and brokenness, looking for something to join, some larger purpose, something to give my life to. And looking back, one of the gifts of going to that military intake center was the stark realization that if I joined the Air Force, I would have to be totally committed to them during my enlistment. You just can't walk away. That would mean taking orders, which would have been fine. It would mean living in a manner prescribed by the Air Force Command, following their protocols, dedicating myself to their mission, their objectives, their culture, the Air Force way of life. All of which would have been a noble endeavor. By joining the Air Force, I would have been agreeing to relinquish my life in service to my country for a term of 3 years. Not a bad thing at all. When Jesus approached Simon Peter and Andrew by the Sea of Galilee, and then later James and John, those fishermen weren't thinking about joining anything. They were busy working. They were hustling. They were running fishing businesses. And instead of looking for something to join, Jesus invited these men to simply follow him. Jesus was not campaigning. He wasn't some religious huckster looking for people to fawn all over him. And we don't know just what religious or faith background those fishermen Jesus encountered by the Sea of Galilee might have had. Know very little about their lives except that they ran fishing businesses. Whatever their situation, Jesus was simply inviting them. His invitation was something like this: become my students. Be apprenticed by me. Join my school. Live with me. Jesus was not saying to them, hey, join a new religion I'm starting up. Instead, he was inviting them into a way of life, into a way of becoming a deeper human being. He was inviting them into a path of spiritual centeredness. Become a disciple, a follower, and come practice with me is more what Jesus was asking of them. And apparently this invitation to follow was deeply compelling. They dropped their business priorities and headed off with Jesus. This seeking a way of life, a life that allows one to be transformed and changed, is one of the reasons why Buddhism has become such an attractive form of faith for some Americans in recent years. Asked why books on Buddhism appear to be so popular today, Dr. Peter Senge, a pioneer of systems thinking and a senior lecturer at the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, responded, and I quote, "I think Buddhism presents itself as a way of life, and Christianity presents itself as a system of beliefs." It's not that beliefs aren't important. Don't get me wrong. Beliefs are very important. However, there is something that attracts people to live out an authentic calling as opposed to simply buying religious ideas. There's something more here. Believing, it turns out, comes through the deep experience of living. Jesus invites us, even today, to live with him in such a way that our actions, the way we think about things, the way we approach life, somehow reflects the Jesus way, the Jesus school. The Jesus school of life is primarily about how you and I become effective and faithful with other people within the systems and institutions of which we and they are a part. That's how you come to love God and your neighbor. So central to the Jesus school. Love God with all your heart, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus did not say, "Come follow me so you can be saved." He doesn't say, "Come follow me so you can go to heaven." He says, "Come follow me so you can fish for people." And that means learning how to engage other people. That's how I read fish for other people, engaging others. Engaging others in terms of the Jesus way or the kingdom of God. Jesus invites us to be God-oriented, God-conscious, God-aware of our dealings with everyone. And it's a school, yes. It's a way of doing things, and the values are God's. The curriculum is God's. In ways very different from the military, following Jesus can be deeply rigorous. We think that following Jesus is a way in which we can just feel good about who we are. In the United Church of Christ Statement of Faith, it says that there is a cost and joy to following Jesus. In other words, it's rigorous. It's not easy. It's demanding. You have a teacher who's telling you to love your enemies. That's hard. That's not what we want to do. Jesus told those early followers that he would teach them to connect to other people, to fish. He would coach them in empowering others and even model for them how to be mature in the face of danger, conflict, and struggle. And in the process, Jesus said, "You know, if you follow this way of life, you'll become more fully human. Your full potential will be realized." Jesus did not say, "If you want to know what doctrines to believe, follow me." He spoke of life with him as a journey, a path, rather than as an encyclopedia of beliefs. The New Testament scriptures, the New Testament, uses the word Christian all of three times. It uses the word disciple 250 times. And the Greek word meaning to follow, that's used 90 times in the New Testament. Jesus invites us, each one of us. And it's not a once and done. We are continually being invited into this way of life to absorb what it means to act in ways that are noble, loving, generous, kind, and justice-oriented. There's no intake interview. You won't get an acceptance letter. There are no mental or physical requirements, as there was for my desire to join the U.S. Air Force. All Jesus wants is your desire. Your desire. A desire to grow, to love, a desire to follow. And that's good news. Amen.